That was the fresh water there. Thank you. Okay, I'm on. Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Let's try again. Oh, did I stumble into a Methodist church? Let's try something different. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Well, I'm suiting up here. I'd love to hear, does someone have a testimony? Not a complaint, but God has done something good for you, and you just, it's just bubbling up. I have a testimony, but I can't talk about it right now, but it's just like bubbling up, you know, it's good. But maybe you're in that same case. Yes, sister.
A couple months back in November, we were without heat. We had the first cold snap. And you know, the Lord brought a man into this church to fix our heater. Out of the blue.
That's right.
Totally fixed our heater. You know, this last cold snap, we were warm.
Amen.
God's been good to us this year.
We can all thank the Lord that the furnace is working today here. Amen. Isn't that nice? Thank the Lord. Anyone else? Go ahead, brag on the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Anyone have a soul to say today? Anyone thankful that their sins are forgiven?
Amen.
And they're on their way to heaven? And the guilt and the pain.
Yes,
and not only has He forgiven you, but you can forgive you.
Right.
You can move on into bright, sunshiny days. Anyone else? Is there anyone else saved here?
Yeah.
Sister Sharon?
Praise the Lord. He's answered a couple of prayers for us just last week or two, and both concerning grandchildren and opening up.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Amen. I like it.
Sister Sharon and Brother John have been very kind, and Eric also, very kind to host me and take care of me. I feel like I'm home now. I start leaving my clothes, laying here and there. Anyone else? We're in no hurry, right? We can come and we can come into God's house. We can praise God. I don't want to deny that opportunity. Anyone else? Anyone on this side? Yes, Brother Dale.
I just want to thank God. He spent some time with me last Saturday. I mean, I had a time with him. Got some stuff right. You know, see some direction in my life. Seeing where I should be going with my family. And I just thank him for spending some time with him. We're men on the same page. It doesn't happen often, but when we're on the same page, man, it's a wonderful thing. So I just want to thank him for that anyway.
It's sweet.
Amen. Sure
is. I want to thank the Lord that He allowed me to come back and visit.
Amen.
I know it was Pastor Askew's invitation, but really I think God is behind all that.
I believe that, brother.
In preparing for this, I started really earnestly preparing about a month ago. Because I'm a prepper. I like to be prepared. I hate this Saturday night, oh, I got to preach tomorrow stuff. You know, I don't do that. It just bugs me. You know, I got to be ready. And there was something going on in my life that should not have been. And there's just nothing like just preparing. And it just, you've got to be clean to be a cleaner. You know, it's just good. So I don't want to be specific, but God knows. And I thank Him for that. You can't stand here with sin, and I suppose you could get away with it once or twice, and maybe three times, but you know, I'm not. Look, that's just not good. I don't want to. Those aren't statistics I want to play with.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to do that. Anyone else? All right. Going tomorrow, I'm going to ask the same thing. So you come and brag on God. God is good all the time.
Sure is.
Luke chapter 11, and one marker in Mark and Matthew chapter 6 also. We're going to start in Luke 11. But we will be going to Matthew chapter 6. So I'll give you a little heads up there. My grandchildren are healthy and fine.
Amen.
Spoke with my wife today, and we've had a habit of reading. We read a chapter of the Bible together every day. And we did it today over a wireless phone, with a phone. It was really nice. And Brother John and Sharon were there too and shared with us. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah, I don't know about, I'm just talking to the men now. Men, I found it really hard to have family devotions every day. Especially when you have teenagers and older and they're coming and going and I'm coming and going and so on. So we weren't doing anything. And that's not good either. So my wife and I started just reading one chapter together each day. We started about 2 years ago. We rarely miss. We just read one chapter. Right now we're reading the Bible through. We're in Isaiah. And today was Isaiah 54. If you're not doing anything, this isn't the message, but if you're not doing anything, do something. Start. Can you do that? It's not that difficult.
That's right.
Just keep a Bible there at your coffee pot, right? By your cereal box or something. And just sit down and just read. Oh, we can't. Wait. We gotta read our chapter and encourage each other to. Or if we simply can't, we're not going to go to bed till we read our chapter together. Sometimes we extend out and research things, and sometimes we just, oh, go, got that done. Good. But it's a good discipline. And here's the value. You learn to read the Word of God aloud, and you really appreciate the King James, the rhythm. It's a beautiful work. But each one of us has a prayer. We often pray. I hope you pray. We ask God for an answer to something, right? God, what about this? Or what do you think of, where should I do this? Or this relationship? Or about money or health? Or that's pretty, you know, somewhere in there. And God, you've got to show me. I like to do that. I'm sure it's taught here too. You know, don't doubt in the dark what God has showed you in the light.
That's right. That's good.
But my problem is, and probably you too, is I know the answer that I want to hear, and I know where I can find it.
Yeah.
I know the address.
Yeah.
But if I'm reading consistently, like if I'm praying a certain need, tomorrow I am going to read Isaiah 55. And God knows it. So I'm not digging out the answer.
That's right.
If God wants to meet me there, that's where I'll be.
Amen.
And that way, if he shows me something, I'm confident it wasn't me finding what I wanted. That's where we were. So anyway,
amen.
Got off that. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I want to change the way you pray. If I'm going to hurt your feelings, I'm going to say it right up front.
Amen.
I don't like the way you pray. I'm not specifically talking, Brother Dale and I have been praying, and it's not just that we pray. I'm talking about everyone. I don't understand the way you people pray. It doesn't make any sense to me. I want to change the way you pray. Your praying just isn't good. I hear stuff like this. It's prayer time. Oh Lord, my cat got into a fight. My cat came home with blood on its paw. It's like, well, okay. That's something, right? You really love your cat. You love your cat more than you love God, because that's the first thing you mention. That's the most important thing. Oh, Lord! It's like the Santa Claus God. Now, Lord, I need you to do this. And I need you to go there. And I need you to be with him. Excuse me, God is everywhere. He's already there. He's not like a teenager. You don't have to set his agenda, you know. Now, Lord, now, yeah, I want you to sit there and I want you to bless us all.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting in your lap and I give you my wish list. And Lord, I want this. And Lord, I want that. One fellow asked him to pray, and he doesn't pray very often. And You kind of, okay, Lord, this is a close of church service. Oh, Lord, bless our food. Thank you for, God is great, God is good. Let us thank you for this food. And they realize, like, wow, what kind of praying is that? But we pray, like, very mechanically. And our prayers have been really, I just think your praying is weak. I think you're missing the point. I probably really offended you, but let me work it out. And I think if you can hear it, it's all Bible. They said here, Lord, teach us to pray. If we would let the Lord teach us to pray, our praying is going to be a good time. You're going to enjoy praying. It's not going to be one of those things where, all right, I gotta ask and I gotta come up with this thing. It's kind of like the Saturday night confession, you know. My wife used to have to think of sin so she'd have something to say. You know, come up with, well, I could tell them I chewed gum in school or, you know, something like that. You know, it's the usual stuff like that. We get that way, and we're Baptists. We're born again believers, right? We have access to the throne of grace. God, we can approach God, the creator of all. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. Our breath is in his hand. He, just like that, he can stop us, he can start us. And we just go, oh, Lord, I need to, pray for all the missionaries and pray for my cat and pray, and Lord, yeah, it's just saying, you know, let's quickly say that in there because that's what we do. That really stinks. I don't think you're going to get anywhere. I don't even think you believe that prayer. I think you're saying it because somebody else is listening and you have to say it. I know that because if no one else was listening, you don't say anything. Because you don't believe it. You have this habit of praying this ineffectual prayer. And nothing's happening. You're not getting any results. Amen.
Amen.
Your prayers fall to the floor. Would you be willing, if I can prove to you biblically, it's more of a teaching tonight. Can I show you like a really, think of a better way, but a really cool and groovy way to pray. You know, just, it's wonderful. It's good. I like it. It's powerful. And it becomes a natural thing. Someone taught me to pray this way maybe 10 years ago. And it takes work. I have to break a bad habit, which was that traditional, you know, Santa Claus list. The list. And it doesn't help either when we have some of the churches at Wednesday night, we have our prayer meeting, right? You come in, oh, we have our list, you know, and we carry over from last week. We don't even thank God for what he did. Boy, I prayed for your ankle last week, you know. You walked in today. Can you not give a testimony? I prayed for you. Isn't that a lot of work? It's a lot easier to read your Bible than it is to pray.
Yeah, that's right.
The flesh doesn't want you praying because you're engaging in spiritual warfare. Even the devil, he would have you teach the Bible or read or something. But to pray, now you're engaging your, you know, the things that you're making happen, unseen to you, but very real, are out there. And we just, oh Lord, teach us to pray. I would like to have prayer meeting at your house, men and ladies, at Black Creek Baptist Church. Prayer meeting. Prayer meeting ought to be the powerful, wonderful time. Instead, the wonderful time in our eyes is when all the singers are here, and right? I mean, I'm not putting down the music. Thank the Lord for that. But when it's more entertainment-based. Lord, teach us to pray. With that, let me pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Lord, you are God, and there are no gods beside you. And I pray that we could learn. Lord, I pray that our lives would be pleasing to you as we worship you in prayer. Thank you for those who've come out. Pray for those who are ill and cannot come out. Bless them and bring them back this week. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you have done. Lord, I thank you for the things you're going to do. Lord, thank you for your character and your nature. We love you. And Lord, you are our God. There are no others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, if you found your place in Matthew chapter 6. We read there in Luke, it's a parallel account in Matthew 6, but there's some things in Matthew that I want to pull out. It's a little easier to pull out than the ones in Luke, that's all. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And Jesus is speaking, by the way. Who has a red letter Bible? Right. Gary Sauer, he's going to be visiting. Sauer used to say, words of God are in black. And red. And when thou prayest, Jesus said. He didn't say if. He said, when thou prayest. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know how I know? You ever doubt God? Everybody does once in a while, right? I mean, I don't know. But there was a time when I doubted. Sometimes maybe I tuned into the world or philosophy or, you know, science or something. Maybe there is, you know. But then, you know how I know there's a God? You know how I can tell you? I can look you in the eye, and as sure as I'm standing here, I can be 100% honest with you. My God answers my prayers.
Amen.
And God does things for me that only I have asked Him for. No one else knows about it.
Amen.
Things that we've talked about in the closet in our private time is God does that. How? There's just no other way. It's just so interesting. There's a messianic psalm. Let's go there. Keep your place here. We'll be back. Go to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. This is they call it a messianic psalm. It's really the Father and Son communicating. God the Father and God the Son. We'll pick it up in verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me. Verse 8. I love verse 8. Ask of me. You know how the economy works? It's not democracy, it's not capitalism, it's not socialism, it's not... The economy is, and always will be, simply the creature asks the creator for all things.
Amen.
Ask of me. That's how things work. That's how things get done. And I will give thee, the heathen for thine inheritance. Whatever you want. You know, David's problem, he wanted that woman, and he didn't ask. God said later on through Nathan, if you had asked, I would have given you such and such and such. You just took it. You didn't even ask. You would always ask, and I'd always bless you. Am I weak? Can I not be your God any longer? Have I failed you? You didn't ask. God asks, or God provides when His children... I love asking. Maybe it's because I'm a Scotsman, but we're frugal. We have to be. But I love to have some... Maybe God has blessed us, and I like to give it away. Amen? That means that we have to be frugal in our life. And I like to ask. I always ask for a discount. When I first moved up to the area there, Oswego area, I had to go to the town hall for something. And I had to talk to Mr. David Gray. Mr. David Gray was not having a good day. He's the tax assessor. So he determines how much property tax the people in that area pay. And I had to talk to him about something else. And he was real sharp. Well, I'm not going to change your assessment. I go, oh, yeah, I didn't... I don't even know. I just moved here. Oh, what's your number? 255. Oh, yeah. Okay, you know, this and that. And okay, we settled whatever the business was. And on the way out, I saw he had a calendar with a John Deere A, like a 1940 John Deere A 39, you know. It had the open flywheel. It wasn't covered. So I knew it was pre-World War II. I go, oh, John Deere A. I'm very familiar with them things, you know. I used to, didn't like it at the time, but I spent a lot of time on those dumb things. He goes, it's a John Deere. Well, comes to find out Mr. David Gray is a member of the two-cylinder club. That's like John Deere people, the old John Deeres, you know, the two-cylinder. And I got talking with him about two-cylinders and stuff, and just talking to him. I just started talking about David Gray. I didn't ask him for anything at first. I just talked to him. And I thanked him for, like, being nice, at least the latter end of our conversation. And he goes, on the way out, he goes, hang on there, Scotty, come on back here. And where did you go? I go, 255 Rochester Street. He goes, oh, yeah. I go, you know, I think I moved in. I missed the star exemption. Or I think it's school tax. They lower your school taxes by a lot. I think I missed it this year. He goes, oh, yeah, it was last month. The deadline was last month. I go, okay. And I just mentioned, I go, I wish there was something you could do, but, you know. See you next year. He goes, oh, hang on. You know, $30,000 reduction in assessment. Sure, I'll wait, you know. And he calls over the girl and da-da-da-da, click, 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 click. He goes, change the date. Give them that exemption. I go, sorry. Do it, he says. So she does it. And he gives me the exemption. I hardly ask. But I did ask. And God just blessed. I never buy pizza at price. Do you buy pizza, anybody? You call, here's what you do. Do the Scotsman thing. Call the busiest pizzeria on the busiest night. Say, do you have any rejects? Do you have any unclaimed? Do you have any mistakes? Right? I need a large pizza, and I'm not going to pay more than $5 for it. It's a mistake, you're just going to throw it out. I'll give you $5 for that $20 pizza. And they'll always say, oh, sure, you know, great. Here's $5 that they were going to get rid of it. And the employees, they don't have to hide the pizza around anymore. Just get. My girls are getting used to it. I go to Lowe's. I needed a door, service door for the garage. And I was with my son-in-law. And I found the door I wanted. Wow, that's $212. Oh, I don't have $212, but I need a door. It's getting kind of breezy in there, you know. Snow's coming in and stuff. So, that's the door I want. And I asked the guy, there's a guy there with a truck, you know, he works there at the box store. And I go, hey, you know, do you have any of these? You have any of these same doors? Do you get any cheaper? But I want this door. I don't want a cheaper door. I want a cheaper price. Well, I think I might have a scratched one. So I have him pull out all the rack. He goes in the bag, pulls them all back. Somebody had that same door. They returned it. It was brand new. They just returned it. He goes, well, I can sell it to you for $150. I said, oh, I don't know. I don't think I'd pay more than $100. He goes, okay. But I said, I need the lock set that goes with it. He goes, well, they're over there. I go, no, but that's part of the package, right? He goes, all right. Ask. You know, it doesn't hurt to ask. Anytime our internet goes down, we have Frontier Internet. Anytime it goes down, I get right on the phone and I call Frontier Billing. Or first, I establish that they have an outage. It's not my box or whatever, right? My modem or something, right? Yeah, no, it's an area outage. You know, we'll have it repaired in a minute. You know, something. Well, I'll call right over to Billing and say, hey, I want a discount. I want a rebate on my price this month. And I'll get at least $25. Look, it's your fault my internet goes down. I've never paid a full month. I just sit there and wait for it to go out, because it always goes out. And just, you know, just ask. Either fix it or do it right. But, you know, I'm that's the way it goes. I'm a cheap Charlie, but my point is this. If you don't ask, you don't know what's going to happen. Actually, you'll know what happened. Nothing. Ask. If you don't ask God for your needs, and you continue to just pray this wimpy, ineffectual prayer, you know what's going to happen? Same as has always happened. Nothing. I'm even surprised that you're here. Because I wouldn't continue in a process that's broken, right? If this was customer satisfaction and this was the prayer department, you'd all be saying, give me my money back. It ain't working. But it's not my fault. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. Amen? Well, we'll see. We'll see. Well, he goes on, and let's see, where are we? Back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You can't be... prayer is not necessarily a public exercise, and if you're praying to be heard by others, then maybe God's the last one to hear you. Your prayer in your closet, in your private time, is the best time. I'm not against corporate prayer. I think it's biblical also. But if that's the only prayer you're having, and you're just doing it to meet the standard, I'm accepted in this club, I can do it, right? I can do it. Not good. Prayer, you don't just repeat the same things over. This is, it's not a pagan ritual. But our primary text is verse 9. Now remember, they had asked him in Luke, and it's a similar text, teach us to pray. And he says this, after this manner, therefore pray ye. I want to just stop there for a minute. It's, whether it's missionary, whether it's church activities, whether it's our family, really every aspect of our life, God has given us a pattern to follow. Amen? God has given us the blueprints for everything. Whether you call it a pattern or an example, in men he gives us end samples, right? Personal characteristics for people. And here he says, after this manner, pray ye. So we're going to learn to pray according to this pattern. Now, when I was in school, and that was a few years ago, we took algebra. How many of you like algebra? You remember algebra? You know, algebra's really, it makes sense, but you just have to understand what the language is. But we had a teacher, he'd always say, now, he'd have the rules. Like, for example, when you have your equation, if you have a set of numbers inside the parentheses and you had numbers outside the parentheses, you always did the work inside first, right? We have a math teacher, right? Mom knows. If it was an exponent or something to a higher power, that was first. You would follow the diagram in this manner. Multiplication was done before addition and subtraction. Right? It was after this. And he'd always say, look, now look it. We're going to have a test tomorrow. And the test is going to be a lot like this. And he'd have some equations. He'd want to see if we followed the directions and we could learn something, right? And he'd say it would be like after this manner. Now, that didn't mean that the numbers were exactly the same in our example as they would be on the test. There was a little bit different there. It might have been an 8, might have been a 9, and in the test it could be a 3 or a 4. He could change things around a little bit. But if we followed after this manner, it didn't matter the circumstances, it would always work.
Amen.
We always pass. If you would pray in this manner, do you have to pray letter for letter, word for word? No, but if you follow the pattern, you'll find some good stuff. And I won't be upset with your vain praying anymore.
Amen.
Amen. Number one. Here's after this manner, and we're still in verse 9. Our Father which art in heaven. When you pray, don't just jump on Santa Claus's lap and say, I need this and I need that. I would really, it's going to take a little practice. You have to be conscious about where you are and what you're doing. The first thing I would suggest you do is you recognize God's position relative to you.
Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven. God is in heaven. We're not. God is King of all. And we're here on this earth, this cursed earth. And I think it's okay. In Vietnamese are very long-time society, long-time there, and crowded. They live very crowded. Like this church, you would have 300 Vietnamese here. And, you know, the seating, everything is really tight. There was no road rage, even though it's just crazy. Same as the film. You know, it's just nuts. It's just crazy, you know. But they don't. And how do they do that? Well, part of their language is this. And there's a point to this. When you address anyone, you begin your address. When you speak to someone, I'm speaking to this young man. I always begin with the address saying M. M means younger person. I'm speaking to like a pastor, Masu, wife Cole, somewhat of my age, and call An, a good friend, An, that's like, but you know, you always, they search to find, they'll always ask you, how old are you? Know what your address is. They want to know your position relative to them. You're a teacher, a pastor, or some government official. They want to know that so they can address you correctly. Very important to them. If you're a year younger, even a year younger, it doesn't matter if you're taller or shorter or whatever, you are M. You are the younger to me. Very, very like ordered that way. When you're speaking to God, it really makes sense to recognize His position relative to you. Our Father, which art in heaven. And the next point would be hallowed. I think it's in the same verse. Holy, hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. God, you are holy, and I'm not. Your very name is a holy name. It's the first one was position. The second one is praise. Take a little time to praise God before you get into your wish list. Look at how many of you have gone to college or you've needed some money somewhere. You're involved in a project. Maybe you needed money for a mortgage or payment, right? How many of you have had to address somebody like a banker or a relative or something? You needed some money. You just don't barge into the banker's office or that rich aunt or uncle of yours and say, hey, baby, lay it on me. You know what you do? You acknowledge who they are. Oh, aunt, you know, you're my aunt. You are here in this nice house with a furnace that works, you know. And it's okay. I'm not saying you butter them up and you con them, but it's okay to like praise them, to thank them. And you know what? They'll receive your requests a lot better. It's just the way it is. It's the old Mary Kay sandwich, you know. Praise, criticism, praise. And it works a whole lot better than just laying it on them, you know. Just do it. Very successful sales technique. I guess it is salesmanship, but if you can't praise God in your prayer, what are you doing? We want to worship God. I don't know, Pastor, I know you can do this better than I can do it, but I did a Bible study on worship. What does it mean? This is a lot of different things. Some people, it goes from, you know, praise band to cutting yourself with, you know, pointed things and crawling up steps. You know, there's all kinds of different ideas. And the one common denominator all through the Bible, when there's worship, that person that's worshiping is getting lower. And they bowed down. They fell on their face. Amen. They knelt. There's always that thing where I am praising. That's my, it's position and it's praise. Wouldn't your prayers be a lot more interesting? Just take a minute. And before you just go in, oh God, I need another, just, you know what? put your list aside for a little bit. Just he knows what you need. He's already there, right? He knows. But does he know your heart? Just take a minute and praise him. Thank him. I like to do this. I like to read a psalm back to the Lord. Or if you've memorized a verse. Or just thank him. You know, just extol him. God is great. You are our God. I like to say, like, you are God and there are no gods beside you. That's a Bible verse. Many times it says that. You are our creator. This is your position. You are all-knowing. You are God. Oh, God, I just want, before I talk about myself, God, I just want to, this is fun. I enjoy this. God made me to worship him. I'm fulfilling my creative responsibility and my purpose. I mean, that's just coming. Oh, God, you know, here we go again. I need this, I need that. Oh, forget that business. God, I need to praise you. Make it interesting. Make it, practice that. Work at it. Add a little bit before you go. Wait, I haven't praised God enough. Wait a minute. I want to throw another psalm in there. I want to read him a psalm again. Amen? You follow me? You can do it. You can do it. I know you can. And then priority. He said here, look in verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Period. Lord, your kingdom come. When I started to pray, and the priority was about me. But when I learned to pray, the priority was about him.
Amen.
Not my kingdom come. Not my little problems. Thank God for life, right? Makes us pray. Thy kingdom come. Let your priorities be the first and the greatest. I just think it's awesome. Let if you ever had an associate work for you, or if you ever pastored or you've dealt with people, I can tell you, you get a lot more when, or let me say this way. Right now I'm in a position where I'm an associate. There's a pastor over me. Interesting position for me. You know, Pastor Stewart. And my approach is this. I think I know, I've been around the block a few times. I know a little bit. And Drew has maybe been around a different block. But God has him as the lead pastor. Amen. So my approach to Drew Stewart, my pastor, is this. Thy will be done, you know. Thy local kingdom be done. I might not agree in my mind. I go, oh boy, that's a mistake. Maybe I'll tell him later, quietly, carefully. But look at it. Let's do what I'm not here to exercise my will. I'm here to help you get your will done. Your kingdom be done, God. God, I want your kingdom to be done. You already know what I'm going to ask. But may I ask this? May you be honored and glorified. May the kingdom of God be closer because of what we're going through here. I don't want to go to school. Right? I've said that a few times. Not my will be done, but thine be done, Mother. Amen. I don't want to go to church. Well, tough rockets. You want to eat? Go to church. Amen. I'm going to drug you and drug you to church and back. I want a rup. Who knows what a rup is? Why, it's a mini bike. I don't know if they still make them. It's a mini bike with grippy handles and a little, like, one spring shock absorber. And a five, you know, sister, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you got sons, right? Yeah, little five horse, like, Briggs and Stratton engine on it. Pull that up and take the muffler off so it's loud and duct tape a Volkswagen carburetor on it so it'll really roar, you know. And I want a rup. I told my father, I want a rup, Dad. Christmas is coming, I want a rup. I may have used this before, but it's just so true. And My father said this, just wait. Oh, Dad, you know, how can I say it? Can I say it any clearer? My will be done. I want to rock. Maybe when I was 24, I was like, I want a wife. I want to get married. God said, well, just can you just chill out? I know what you want. And I'm working on it. But would you first acknowledge that my kingdom come? I waited. At that time, I was unusually wise. And I waited on my father's counsel. He didn't tell me. He just said, wait. Oh, you know, when you see something, oh, Dad, my dad is always a deal, son. There's always a deal. Oh, Dad, this is the deal of a lifetime. I got to get this rump, you know. I found a rump somewhere. They still have swap sheets, you know. Remember the swap sheet? I found a rump. And, you know, yeah. Well, it wasn't. I just figured, well, all right, you know. Maybe my dad doesn't care because nothing was happening. He wasn't saying anything. Nothing. Then on Christmas Day, our bedroom was upstairs in the attic area. And come down and we're all excited. You know, my sister would get us up early and I'd come down the steps. And I really wasn't into it. I was just, I don't know, Christmas, you know. Relatives come over and they kiss you and all kinds of stuff, you know. Candy I don't like and stuff. I came down and there was the tree. And didn't you know, next to the tree, because it wouldn't fit under it, it wasn't a rock. Not a motorcycle. It was a real mini motorcycle. It was a motorcycle. I mean a rock. Nobody wants a rock anymore. That's old. I got a motorcycle. I was hooked there. I got on that thing and my father was watching. He was watching my reaction. Hey, go ahead. You know, I hopped on it. Started it up in the house, you know. Blew smoke through the house, you know. Get it. It was snowing. We got out in the yard. I drove around in the snow and chased a snowmobile. And oh, yeah, I'm in my pajamas. This is so exciting, you know. I got little, like, feet pajamas, you know. Oh, this is great. My father took care of me. God, he gave me something better tonight. Oh, I'm so glad I waited. So glad I waited. Want something, don't you? Who doesn't want something? Amen? Are we normal? We want something? But if you would, in your prayers, you'd say, you know what? Nevertheless, thy kingdom come. May your will be done, God. You watch and see. You'll have a shout in time. Your God knows what you want. But he has something more than you could even think of. He's got a real motorcycle for you.
Yeah.
Amen? He's got that spouse. Oh, I want to get married. Oh, listen, it's better to want something you don't have than to have something you don't want. Amen? Let me say that again. It's better, are you listening, young people? And old people too. It's better to want something you don't have than to have something you don't want. Thy kingdom come. And then the provision. Here we are. Look at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, finally, after all that buttering up, after all that, finally I can get to my list. Give us what I need today. But he said just our daily bread. He already knew. You know, God just wanted us to slow down and have a little fellowship with him in prayer. Bless you. God can read Craigslist. You know, he knows what's in the swap sheet. He knows what's out there. I just think it's really good. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to ask for a lot. What do I need today? Lord, would you provide that today? Amen. Let's do that. That's not my emphasis, though. My emphasis was on the beginning. Before I asked for provision, have I praised him? Have I recognized his position? Have I done those things? See, I don't like the way you've been praying, and I want you to change. Don't take it personally. You know what I'm saying.
Amen.
we can do a lot better.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, when you pray this away and the things that you ask for now, and you're, if you don't get them that day, you don't feel like your prayer has been wasted. Because you fulfilled the purpose why you are even breathing on this earth. You worship God in prayer. In the meantime, these other things are just bonus. He knows your daily bread. He knows, right? God knows what you need. Look at, let's go on. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts. That would be great if it ended there. As we forgive our debtors. Oh, I have to do that. It's like the one guy who was forgiven, you know. Oh, a rich guy. He owed the rich guy and he begged mercy, you know. All right, you know, go ahead. And then that guy that received the pardon from the rich guy, somebody else owed him, you know, $5. He grabbed him, took him to the prison, and, you know, and the guy, the rich guy, heard about it. He was upset. I forgave you, I granted you mercy. And this is how you respond? Is this the manner? You know, pray in this manner. You don't have to say these words. Give us this day, you know, this is just wrote in period, and forgive us our debts, comma, as we forgive our debtors. But if you follow this pattern, your praying is really good. And this is a hard part. For in my praying, now that I've recognized who God is and I've praised Him, and I've even added a little bit about my provision, how can I ask for pardon when I haven't pardoned you? For what you told me last week. How can I pardon you when I think you ripped me off, or you hurt me, or you didn't do me right? You know, you abused me, you did this, or you did that, or, you know, you hurt me. We've all been hurt. Amen. You haven't done, I don't know what pill you're taking, but that's life, amen? But can you pardon? Oh God, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those also. Wow. Really healthy for you. Forgive others and keep no account. Don't keep a long account. Keep no accounts. Forget it. Let them go. Don't you know that the people that are going to hurt you the most is friendly fire? Right? You're going to get hurt by Christians and your family. Why? Because that's who the people you're with, right?
That's right.
They're people too, right? It's just going to happen. You expect it out of the lost people. You don't expect it out of God's people. But why? They're still people. Amen? Right. Forgive them and do that. How do we do that? How do we... This is really hard. How do I forgive brother so-and-so? Well, we have a little song. You know this? You know Ephesians 4:32? You know that little song? We teach it in our church. We sing it every week. Because we have a bitterness issue. And people want to pray, but they only want to talk about provision. They don't want to go on the praise side, and they don't want to go on the pardon side. Because they can't. They keep bitterness, and they harbor it. They kind of like cultivate it. And they feel like they have the right to revenge themselves of other people. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 4:32, and be, you know this one? Anybody help? Oh no. Oh boy. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the key. How do I do it? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. One more time. Let's try to sing along with me. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the ticket. That's a good thing. And finally, look in verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's real. That's protection. If you're looking for the outline, that's the last P outline. That's protection. Keep me away from sin. Amen? Don't make this mistake, especially if you're young, but don't, even if you're, it's always around us. Don't make this mistake. God, I'm heading into this temptation. Give me strength. Give me victory over this temptation. You know what? You might have victory that day. Tomorrow, you're going to go back in again.
Come on.
And you might be in a weak spot then. You might be hurried, and you might not be, spiritually strong or whatever. And you don't lead us not into temptation. I don't even go there. I don't want to fight that battle. I don't want to have to deal with it. Just lead me away from it. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Have a little wisdom here. If you're dealing with something that's like an addiction to you or is trying to control you, don't play footsie with the devil. Well, I won last week. Yeah, but he's won today. Stay away from it.
Amen.
Get away. When I smoked and I was trying to quit, you know how one way I quit? I'd always stop at a convenience store on the way to Kodak. I went around the store. I found the things that triggered that me to fall. And seeing that store, that gas station convenience store, when I'd see it, I'd just pull in. And I couldn't. You know what? I don't even look at it. I went around a long way. So I have a new view, a clean view. Look at this. This is really good. Look at verse 14, Proverbs 4. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Can we do that? Are you able to do that? Well, I can't help what they do at work. But can you step your way away from the path of the wicked? Is someone holding a gun to you or a knife to your throat? Do you have to do that? And go not in the way of evil men. Look at verse 15. Avoid it! Pass not by it! Turn from it and pass away! Get away from it! Lead us not into temptation. I don't want to do that. I got enough trouble. Steer me away from that junk. Why would I invite trouble? Why would I watch that on TV or the internet or that magazine? Why would I do that? That just creates a conflict in me. One of these days, that conflict is going to find me in a weak spot. I'm going to fall. If I'm a recovering alcoholic, I'm trying to kick the booze habit, why would I keep a couple bottles down below just in case? Get rid of it. You know what happened? I'll see them there. Oh, well. Oh, look what's there, right? Get out of there. Pass by it. Avoid it. Don't go that way. Lord, help us. Lord, protect us. As you've pardoned me, I feel like I'm washed and I'm clean. I don't want to go roll in the mire again. Amen?
Amen.
It's a good prayer. It's a good way. Let me show you a Bible example and we're done. Nehemiah chapter 1. You're pretty quiet. Am I making sense? Nehemiah chapter 1 verse, this is a great prayer. And you're going to find the men of God, the heroes of God, consistently through the Bible, they're going to pray after this manner. They're not going to say the exact words that you just read there in Matthew or Luke 11, but you're going to find the manner, you're going to find the pattern, the example in each one of these. See if you can, as we read it, see if you can find it, see if you can spot it. Nehemiah gets some bad news. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4. It came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven. That sound like where God is, his position? The great and terrible God. That's not terrible like awful. That's terrible like awesome. You are a great and awesome God. And you keep, I only give a little praise to you, God, keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and observe his commandments. It's not your fault. Amen? You've kept your part. But here's our part. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. Which, does this sound like pardon? Does this sound like he's asking for pardon? We have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant. This is really great. God, remember in the psalm when you wrote, he just loves that. You can hold him to it. Amen? You can hold him to his word. How many of you have children and say, how many of you have had children? And it could be years later, your children will say, yeah, but Dad, you said... Yeah. How can they remember that when they can't remember their appointment for the get up? They can remember that. Yeah, but God, you said. Oh, it just works. I will, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me, keep my commandments and do them. Though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power. Doesn't this sound good? It's like the wish list is over and he wants to close with that praise sandwich. You know? O Lord, I beseech thee, let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. If you'll pray after this manner, your prayer life is going to get really interesting. Amen? Instead of the wishless praying, instead of this wishy-washy, throw something up quick, take a time and thank God. Praise God. You're going to have to practice it, though. Read him a psalm before you get to your list. I'll be real quick. I like to pray in sign language. What do you do? I find I fall asleep when I pray at my bedside, right? I don't. I just like, I think I was praying, but here I am, crumpled over next to the bed. I like to walk and I sign and I pray. I walk down the path or something like that. I look like a lunatic out for an errand because I'm out there waving my arm. And I'll go maybe a couple miles and I'll just complain. I pour out my complaint before him. I show before him my trouble. My spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then down was my path, right? I poured out my complaint before him. And I just poured, that giant ass quiz, that guy, I need to talk about this. And, this bill, I wave, and I sigh, and I just get all spastic, and I just get it all out. Then about the halfway time to turn around, and I just, now it's out. I start kind of crying, and thank God. You know what? Really, Father S was a great guy, you know? Bill's Bill, and I'm me, and you know, it's okay. And I went by that tree where, I remember going by the tree this way, and I was just so bitter and complaining. Now I'm coming back the other way, and there's that tree, and it's like a monument. It's like, I'm not bitter anymore. Got it all out. And I'll just take a few minutes. I'll say, God, you're in heaven. You are God. There are no gods beside you. You are my creator. I praise you, God. I thank you. Lord, I need this. Brother so-and-so needs this. And sister so-and-so needs that. God, would you pardon me as I pardon them? God, pardon them, haven't I? Protect me and protect my family. I tell you, that last mile, that last stretch going home, again, I'm looking spastic, but it's a happy spastic. Amen?
Amen.
I'm a Baptist-costal coming on home. Just having a good time. Feel the sweetness of God coming in.
Amen.
God and I had a little chat.
Yeah, I like it, brother.
And it's good. I know where I am relative to him. And I'm so delighted with that. I asked for a ruck. I got a motorcycle.
Amen.
I I hope your praying gets better. I hope you can pray after this manner. Because it's good. Pastor?
Folks, I'm not going to hold you up. I think it's just one obvious thing to do. Go home. Put that to work. All right? Just go home and put that to work.